a stand. This is awesome to be here. What a way to kick off the new year. Boy, it was cold this morning, wasn't it? We drove up from Waukesha last night and stayed over in Menominee, and I was a little worried about my car starting, you know, with the wind chill this morning. I think it was around 20 below, but it did it. So, praise God. We are so glad to be here, and boy, you young people just did such a wonderful job. I think that young guy, what's your name in the red? Huh? Carl. I think he had a busy week, didn't he? A lot of music to work on, and the whole gang there getting ready. Really wonderful. And that element kind of took me home to Moldova, my wife and I, a little bit, because young people in Moldova are so important for the churches, and they really carry the worship and a lot of the ministry in the church. They don't have a lot of money, and they don't have a lot of opportunity to go to the bowling or the movie or whatever, this and that, and play Nintendo. They just don't have a lot of money for all that stuff. So you know what they're doing? They're very involved with the church, and they're learning instruments, and they're singing, and we go to churches. And without the young people, I mean, the worship would be quite a bit diminished. So just love seeing the young people up here. And besides that, I was in youth ministry in the district here for about 15 years, so got a big heart for young people. But thank all of you for your ministry and working and practicing and all that stuff. You know, you don't just get up here and sing a song. You know, there's a lot of practice behind the scenes. So my wife and I, it's just wonderful to be here. And I'm kind of in one of these moments. I'm really excited. And this is actually beginning the 11th month. You know, we come. For those of you who have been in the church for a while or know anything about missions with our fellowship, the Assembly of God, as career missionaries, we're on the field 4 years, then we come home for a year, itineration, right? You're kind of familiar with that? So we have 2 more months. We go back in March for another term. Rick, did we graduate both in 84? Yeah. So we both came out of North Central in 84, and Heidi and I were in ministry in Wisconsin for 20 years in different pastoral roles at a few different churches. I'm a born and raised Wausau boy. But for 20 years, we were in different pastoral roles, led 10 short-term mission trips. And in 2005, God called us to full-time missions to Moldova about one day after we returned from leading a mission team from our church in Waukesha. Like, it was, you know, when it was time, it was time. And one day back, bang, I'm calling Springfield. We feel called to full-time missions. So now we've got almost 15, we got 15 years in that. One more term, we're going to have 20 in the pastoral and 20 on the mission side. And we'll see what God all has ahead. But this last term and these last couple years, you know, they've been kind of difficult years in many ways around the world. But they have been the most incredible years we've ever experienced on the mission field. So we're just going to have a great morning and right into the afternoon. And, you know, this is the 11th month, January. We came back in mid-February. We'll head back in second week of March. But, you know, after traveling and almost every week in churches and sharing, when you get to the 11th month, you might feel like you're getting worn down a little bit, but I'm excited. I'm as excited as ever today, and your church has been partnering with us, and so this is a little bit of a stockholders meeting. We're going to let you see how your stock is doing and how it's risen the last couple years, and just amazing what God has done. I'm excited for 2022. And by the time we're sitting down eating chili, you're going to just be so excited with us too and say, we got to get you guys back to Moldova. There's some great things going on. We need you back there. More churches. So, Heidi, how are we doing? Do we have a family? Let's see how that thing works. Oh, I love you. Did you hear that? They all love our kids and grandkids. Here, let my wife, this is my wife Heidi. We've been married 38 years. And she's born and raised in Grand Forks, but really raised in Minneapolis, but lived in Eau Claire as well. So she's a little bit of a Wisconsin girl. We'll give her that, right? And you guys knew each other from Eau Claire? Oh, okay. Come and tell them about your grandkids and everything. Give them a little bit of the family stuff here.
Do you love your grandkids?
I do love my grandkids. You can tell who's the speaker in the family, though, right? Or the talkative one. I wanted to also just really... I just was really blessed. You guys are... Your hearts are beautiful. Your voices are beautiful. And you sang such a wonderful, wonderful songs this morning. And I love hearing songs that are brand new, that somebody has wrote or you've heard somewhere else or whatever, but you just did a great, great job, and you did it for Jesus. I love that. Yes, we have three kids. Two are extremely tall. And our oldest one is the tallest. He's 37. He lives in Arizona, has a lovely Arizonan wife, and he has given us the two little blondies, Declan, who is now 5, and Dodger, who is 3. And Blake is in the middle. Blake is in Seattle. So our boys left Wisconsin and went out west, and careers and different things took them out that way. And he just had him and his wife, Marima. Marima is actually from Bosnia, so that's pretty fun. We have an Eastern European young lady in our family, which Moldova is in Eastern Europe. So super fun. Her parents are awesome. They came when she was 10 years old to America. So that's a fun story. So she and Blake have their first baby. His name is Kobe. My son believes he'll be a basketball player someday. We'll see. But Kobe is now almost a year old, we're excited because this is the month that we get to go see him. Between COVID and just different things, it's been really hard to get that direction. So we are very, very excited to go see him. Heather is the one who went to Moldova. She had 3 years in Moldova and then 2 years in Amsterdam. She did a Bible called Master's Commission, like a Bible school in Amsterdam, loved being on that side of the world. She still calls Moldova home, which is a big gift. And she is married now as well. So all three are married. We're waiting for Heather to have children so we can keep adding to the grandchildren list. But right now they have the most awesome dog. It's really cute. So she lives in Wisconsin right now, but they just bought their first home in Wyoming, so we keep going west. But this is the reason why the calling of missions is bittersweet. We cannot wait to get back to Moldova. Moldova is definitely our home. We love the people, we love the country, but those in the picture makes it a little bit more difficult where your heart is divided. You want to have two of yourselves so that one can stay with the grandkids and the kids. It's been a pleasure this year to be home and be with them and be with our family members as well, like our siblings. But so when we're here, we enjoy it and miss Moldova. We're in Moldova, we love it, but we miss our kids and grandkids.
Can I tell you one little grandkid story? Because you're a big family church, I know that. Dodger, the one right behind me there, he just turned 3, and we were kind of a sports family, so Dodger doesn't have a chance. He's going to like sports. And already, you know, he's walking around, running around the house with a football and stuff. Well, you know, on Sundays, if my older son's watching football, or Saturday, he'll stand there in front of the TV with a football, and he'll watch. And he knows when they line up and then when it's hike and everything starts. And he'll take off and he'll do his lap around the kitchen. He'll come back into the living room, get tackled on the carpet, and then he'll stand up and get ready for the next play. I mean, really, we got the video to show you. It's hilarious. Anyway, yeah, praise God. It's wonderful to be home, and we've had Even though there's a little bit of distance, we're getting to see all of our kids and spend some time. I'm just excited here. You're all sitting there going, well, if you're excited, then start saying something. Get going, okay? I am. I'm just trying to make the morning last a little longer in the day. This is just a wonderful start to the new year. And I told you young people already, I just loved being here and having the young people leading like that. That was very meaningful to me. So, Moldova. How many know Moldova? You know the word Moldova. All right. And we've been here before. I don't know if it's from us, but or in some other. You in school, anybody ever talk about Moldova? Oh, a lot of you are homeschooled or you're reading about it. You got some assignments. So there we are, yeah. Sandwiched between Ukraine and Romania. And you know right now in eastern Ukraine, there's some stuff going on, potentially with Russia. So we'll see how that plays out. And around Chile, you can talk to me a little bit about Russia's foot in our country, Moldova, on the eastern side, a little area called Transnistria. You guys can look that up and read about that. Very interesting. But Moldova, most things you read, it's Europe's poorest country. It's really, if you look at this map, it kind of looks like it's a part of Romania, right? And it was. After World War II, Stalin chopped off that corner, and then he cut underneath, and he took the frontage we had to the Black Sea, and so that underneath part coming really from Odessa over underneath there, that's Ukraine now, which is really a bummer, because that would greatly help us as a country. So anyway, yeah, we are under the Soviet Union after we got chopped off there from Romania until 91, almost 50 years, you know. And in 91, we declared our independence, almost reunited with Romania, had a little bit of a civil war go on because of all the Russians that had been transferred into our country and kind of Russified our country during World War II. I mean, after World War II and during our time of Soviet occupation. So we're quite a mix. The country speaks Russian and Romanian. My wife and I, we do our best. We kind of had to pick when we got to the country. We had to pick one or the other. This little country really would fit in Wisconsin about four times. This little country, we had to pick Russian or Romanian, and so we picked Romanian. And Romanian is the declared national language now of Moldova. So, Noi vorbim limba română. We speak Romanian. Crăciun fericit. Merry Christmas. And so it's about 3.5 million people. That's probably what you would read. But a good million are outside the country working. A million plus, I would say, sending back remittances. They're throughout Europe, up in Russia. They're trying to immigrate to Canada, U.S. And it's the number one shrinking country in Europe. You know, this is not Western Europe. This is not Brussels or Amsterdam or Paris or, you know, Rome or places like that that you would know of. This is Eastern Europe. This is a step back in time. And it's there's a lot of hopelessness in the country, but it's just amazing. Your brothers and sisters there are incredible people. They love God, they love the work of God, they just want to reach the next village or community and see another church get going. We live in the capital city, it's about 700,000, called Chisinau, a lot of former Soviet apartment blocks. But here in the rural areas, we work a lot in cities, in the rural areas. In the rural areas, you can just get a little picture here of, you know, horse and carts, simple living, working your fields, you're going to the well for water, in winter, it's a four-season climate. And, you know, I look at these young people oftentimes, sometimes we go in the children's church and we'll, before we share in the adults, and I'll just be giving the children a little idea. This is what, or the young people, this would have been what you did this morning. You would have woken up and you'd probably first all went outside and visited the restroom because you don't have indoor plumbing. And then mom and dad would have probably had some buckets that you know to go down and to the closest well and bring some water home. And maybe you would have come to church in your horse-drawn sleigh. Not just saying about it, but actually got to do it. You know, these just aren't, you know, a few pictures we caught. This is, when we're in the rural area, we see a lot of this. So it's life. It's a grind. In some ways it's a simple life, but in some ways it's a wonderful life too, you know. There's some really good things. So just precious people. And we spend a lot of time in the rural areas, and you're going to see. But I was last here, January 3rd, 2016. And I remember it very well because Heidi's father was in fourth stage cancer. And this was the first, we had just come home for itineration, the beginning of December. Began going to the hospital almost right off the plane for like 30 days, University of Minnesota, and then he was moved to hospice when the new year came, and he did pass away on January 13th, 2016. But this was our first service. We were over by White Bear Lake area, Forest Lake, with Heidi's family. But just I remember Pastor Rick welcoming us with the whole everything going on, just to come on over from there and share. And so that was certainly remember that last time being here. But we went back, we got back to the field in 17, 18, 19, 20, so our 4 years. And we just came home. It's kind of weird to be in 2022 because all year I've been talking about, we've been in 21 and I've been talking about this year, 20 churches in 2020 that God had challenged us to. Let me just give you a little backdrop on this. You know, we've been working in Moldova since 2007. We've done a lot of work with a few different areas, with school and campuses and students, and a little bit of university ministry. We've also helped with an international English-speaking church in the capital city. It's the first one, the only one. And we've always, from the beginning, hosted mission teams and have worked on church, new church plants and projects. You know, missional stuff, helping get a new church going in an area where there's no church, right? That's kind of easy to understand. And we've probably usually have on a given year, 3, 4, 5 new churches, teams come, and anywhere from 5 to 25, and they bring workers, men, women, young, old, and they bring finances, you know, if they can, to help with materials. And, okay, we'll just round it up, about 4 a year maybe. And we love doing that and targeting a new area where there's no church and just a team coming in, and we get a new project going and probably have a house church that's kind of established after a couple years, and they've got a good nucleus and they're ready for their first physical building, not get out of the house because they're very limited, and we get them in their first building and they really get on their way. Well, in the summer of 2019, I'm kind of minding my own business, and we're kind of, you know, just beginning to think about 2020 and some teams that are lined up and kind of similar, you know, looking at beginning to think of what projects we're working on in 2020 before we come home in 21 to itinerate. So this is like the summer 2019, looking ahead. And here, I'm just minding my own business, and here comes God. 20 churches in 2020, and I looked over my shoulder, who are you talking to? You know, have you ever had God ask you to do something and it scared you? And you were hoping, when you first felt the impression, maybe some of you hear voices, I haven't ever heard the voices, like the voice, let's say, the voice, okay, you know, God speaks to us in many different ways, right? And, you know, have you ever had God impress something on you? And maybe it even took you a few weeks to figure out, was that God? Was that just my thoughts? Was that God? Oh, I think that was just me. No, that might be God. You know, and this is what I was doing with this. Because here comes 20 churches in 2020. And I'm going, what? No way. That's got to be me. We only like do 4 churches a year. We don't do 20. Who's helping with 20 new projects in 1 year? And I really battled this for 2 weeks. And Spent a lot of time going to the kitchen for coffee and a snack, because when the thought would come in my mind, I was hoping it would just leave, and it was just my thought, and I was trying to get myself distracted. But it kept coming back, and I'm just being honest with you. I was so blown away by the concept, 20 churches in 2020 helping with 20 new projects. You know, we didn't do it all, and I'm going to show you what God did here. And, you know, I readily admit we didn't do everything, but we had a really big part in taking a step and saying yes to God. I said, yes to God, this is you. That's basically what I said. And then I said, now what do we do? It's like, okay, God, after a couple weeks, this isn't my thoughts. This isn't Heidi. This is you. You got something going on, and you're stirring in the heavens or something about Moldova. And I just said, okay, this is you, and now how do we even begin to approach this? And really began to just take some baby steps, you know, to try and come up with 20 different places, making contacts with pastors and different leaders, seeing where there might be home churches that are ready to kind of go after their first physical building, and you know, where places we're targeting for new churches, and came up with this little brochure with the help of my daughter, and we got 20 places. Now this is, 20 churches in 2020. A nice little brochure here. You know, this took some months through the summer and coming into the fall, and meeting with all the people, got a little paragraph description, got an amount basically from 5 to 15,000. And so I got this whole little brochure, we got the 20 places, and it's like, okay, God, look what we did. We're working on this with you, you know, you got the idea, and I'm doing my best, but, you know, we don't have any money. We got places, we got pastors that'll be a mother, like the mother church, and areas they're hoping to start a new work, but so this looks pretty cool. I like blue, actually. It's my favorite color, so you like how that turned out? So what are we going to do about this now? What are we going to do about $200,000 kind of represented here? I'm not even home in the United States itinerating. I'm over in Moldova getting ready. You're going to have my last year, 2020, in Moldova, and then go itinerate. So I don't even get to go from one church to the next on Sunday and say, we have this vision for 20 churches in 2020. Do you want to be a part of it? Do you want to take on one of these projects? So you're getting the idea. I'm a little flabbergasted with God. I'm kind of blown away. This is like way over my head. We're like just nice little missionaries. We're not like these big missionaries, God. We're just like nice little missionaries. And we do like 4 a year, God. We don't do like 20. I'm not walking on water lately. You know, I'm just do things a little more manageable. So, well, I'm having a great time. I'm having so much fun today. Because, you know, you kind of have the week off and so much Christmas stuff, and now we're back on. And now I'm sharing, and it's all like, almost like the first time, and how it's all going to come out again, I don't know. I got a lot to tell you, but I shouldn't tell you that, because then you're going to feel like, oh, God, we're going to be here all day. Hey, the chili got a little late start, so it's going to need a little extra time to get warmed up. So the hot pots are going, all right, and it's going to be really good and ready. So, all right, see how good my wife is? She moves me right along. Let's check this out. I just want to tell you, God did this. And I'm going to show you, I'm not going to show you all 20, but God, you know, that whole little introduction there, just fast forwarding, God did this. And we were able to help with 20 new projects. And I'm going to show you a handful of them because we don't have time. But check this out. And Heidi and I have been to every one of these places, many of them numerous times. We have been there with the pastors when we were just first looking for land or looking at a building or considering a new option or meeting with the home church and trying to, you know, motivate them or just preach about the new project and different teams that may have come. And this is incredible every time I put this up. And I'll be honest with you, you know, we came home in February of 21, so 2020, a lot of this got underway, some into 2021. And even, you know, for various reasons, they couldn't get permission or stamped or, you know, just sometimes we had a little bit of opposition. But even this fall, two of them are underway right now into winter. And but we have been to these places, and we just saw God with the leaders. We prayed, we believed. We've a lot of these places, we've visited homes. We've done evangelism events. We got our hands dirty helping build. Because check this out. God did this. He brought in $200,000, give or take. I got to the point, I was just so busy just going to the bank, getting some more funds because somebody's helping with this, or a church said they'll help with this, and we got another one going on, and we're trying to get that thing underway, and then we're going to the next one. And you now listen to this. Now, God did this, and God did this. Remember summer of 2019, coming into the fall, this is all going on, and God's like, 20 churches, I'm like, what? Come into 2020, okay, God, we're kind of ready to go. Some churches are getting on board with us. We got about 8 or 10 sponsored already. I'm all excited. You're serious about this. And here comes January and February 2020. It's kind of winter, so just making plans because we got some funds and we got churches and we got this. We're going to just get this going and see how far we go. You got 20, God, and we're going to go for it. Bang, what happens in March? COVID, right? See, we didn't know that. You didn't know that. I didn't know that. God knew that. And God's saying 20 churches in 2020. What's going on up there? Don't you know what's going to be happening in 2020? So COVID hits in March. Guess what else happens? 6 mission teams cancel on me. All my mission teams. They're gone. COVID's hitting the country. Everybody's locked up. But God still did this. It is just absolutely amazing. Boragon, Boshkana, Bubuyech, Kainar, Katronic, Chișinău, that's our capital city where we live. Chimișen, Cireș, Corlatan, Cricova, Dolna, Giurgiulești, Hirjaukău, Humalești, Mureșan, Mikulișan, Bătrăș, Rădeni, Vex, Goren, Vaduluy, Vodă. Anybody want to see a little bit what God did? Want to see a few samples? Check this out in Vaduluy, Vodă. Anybody excited here with me? Can you tell I'm not faking this? And I've shared this like 10 months, you know, give or take, and different additions here and there. But I'm just all excited again. We got a couple more months. We're full on our Sundays to the end of February. Then we're getting ready to go. Look at this. Now, what do you see? What do you see right there? Okay, this is what you see because my wife went to the next one. But a bunch of you probably saw a piece of dirt, right? Just a dirt. You know what I saw? I saw a church. See, because I got faith. See, I saw it by faith. No, we saw what God did. Look, watch this. In 17 and 18, this was one of the first wooden built churches. Now, it's kind of small. It's a glorified ranch home in some ways, but it's a church. Now, this isn't our 2020 project. This got done, and this got done, Heidi, didn't it? Didn't this? Yeah, it got done. And on the inside, you know, we started, you know, filling up a little bit. And the 2020 project in Vaduluy, Vodă was to finish the L and make this about 3 times the size. And so look at this. Look, and here's the church. This is amazing stuff. Some of these pictures are from summer when they had a water baptism. And so they got. I'll admit, they got some extra people there because of guests, and it's baptism's a big thing. And but still, it's just amazing what God did. What started in 1718, little church, and you'd look right on here, right here, Vaduluy, Vodă. I had $15,000. Vaduluy, we call it Vod, is a new church plant that was able to purchase land and build an initial meeting place in 2017. With steady growth in numbers and strong evangelism efforts, they are now ready to build a larger sanctuary on their existing land. So that's the paragraph. And so 15,000 didn't build it. So, you know, I admit, we didn't do it all. But it's just so cool. The amounts we had, really, the pastors, ourselves together, We together took this step of faith, and we didn't know how far we were going to go, but we saw God in every situation take us further. Let's go on. Look at, here's another example. So everything wasn't from the ground up. This was in a little village, Humalesht. When I would have been here in 11 and 16, you would have saw the mother church, Bubuyech. And that one we built from the ground up the last two terms to first floor, second floor, just really great looking building. Pastor Sasha's pulling on my shirt saying, Troy, can come out to Humalesht. We go there Sunday afternoons after our main service in Bubuyech. And it's a smaller village. Most people don't know about it. But we have people coming. They don't even have a little grocery store. They don't have a meeting place. They'll meet just out in the little field where they kick the ball for soccer, you know, at a couple wooden posts or something. And they'll just meet wherever. Even when it's colder, they would be meeting out there. Some kids would come and a few adults. And he said, we got a good core. Let's just look to, maybe we can buy a piece of property, a home. We can transform it, retrofit it. Let's just look out there. And we finally did, and this a church from West Layton down Milwaukee helped us with this, and initially helped us with it, but this thing got transformed, look at that, and it's just one of my favorite projects, just this little home church, and it's like the community center in Humalesht now. It's set up for COVID there, but they can get 40, 50 chairs in there. You know, we gutted that area, we got that back room added, tied that in with the roof, new windows, move the door down. They may have 30, 40, 50% of the children now coming from this village of about 700. And it's the light in this village. And so that is awesome. Take a look at Mikleoshen and Dolna. Here's Niku and Veronika, and we've been out here many times. And right behind, that's Mikleoshen Church. And that was one of the 2020 projects. You would see it on here. And we got that built. Right to the left of Veronica, his wife, there would be a little church that they were trying to initially use. Well, they had this slab in the back in this area, and we just began talking, hey, we need to get you guys a real church here, a bigger church, because this is one of two. 18 of the 20, like, were first churches, you know, really. First church in their community that we're going after. This one was a little more established, but it was so small, but they already had planted a church, and they were trying to plant another one in Dolna. So I said, we got to get you a bigger church, because the mother church will be like the meeting place for various evangelism efforts. You know, they'll all come together and meet at the mother church. And they do a lot of good stuff, and I just had such confidence in them. So his wife, 5 miles down the road, was born and raised here in Dolna. This Dolna place, for any of you that know a little literature and history, from Russia, a guy named Pushkin. He was an author, writer, and sometime during the Soviet days, he must have been writing something bad about the government. And you know what they did? They sent him to Moldova. Bad boy, you go to Moldova. So whatever. And when he was in the capital city of Chisinau, there's a couple of museums there about him, and we've been to. But they sent him out to Dolna as well, or he came out to Dolna, spent some time. This is about 2,500, 3,000 little village, and there's a museum for Pushkin here. Anyway, so you know what this is? This is a little bus stop. You get the van, you get the bus. Depending on the size of the village, the bus will come every hour, every 3 hour, you know, twice a day. Every half an hour, whatever. So they had this situation, they had this piece of land. And I just said to Nico, hey, this has got to be one of our 2020 projects. We'll join you. Let's get the church going. Nice location right by the center area there. And we were going to try and retrofit the building, the little blue house. We couldn't do it. It needs to be destroyed. It's not safe. That wasn't worth everything. We said, let's just go for it. Let's excavate the land. Let's get the foundation going. And this is how much money we got. And let's just go and see how far we get. And you know how far we got? We basically got to the foundation. and we had a little bit of materials, but we don't really want to start what I call phase one framing and getting the roof on and all that until you're ready. You know, you want to be able to, once you start that, you want to be able to keep the elements out and at least get to the roof. So we got the foundation in, And I remember the day when Nico and I are standing there, we're looking at the foundation and it's poured and it's just like a beautiful sea of cement, and we're just like smiling, we're so proud, we feel like the church is built just because we're on our way. And tell you the truth, this was in the fall, like September, October of 2020. And I knew I was going to, a couple months in the new year, I'm going to be heading back home. So I'm kind of thinking, okay, in my mind, I didn't say this to Nico. I didn't want to be discouraging. But I'm thinking this. Nico, praise God. Look what we did. We got the foundation. We're on our way. Check Dolna on the list, what I said I was going to hopefully help Dolna with. So I need to go on to the next one now. You guys keep praying, believing, see if God somehow helps you, but I got to keep going. I got a few other ones we're working on, and then I'm going to be going to the U.S. to itinerate. So God bless you guys and your slab. No, I never said that, but in my mind, I'm kind of thinking this, right? I'm just feeling like, hey, some of you are list people. You know, I get to check off Dolna. We did what we said we would do. We helped them the way we said. Well, you know what? God wasn't done with Dolna. This one, more unique than a lot of the other ones, in a month God brings in finances. Really, you talk about the apple or whatever, money growing on trees. It's kind of like what happened. It just felt like in a month we have these funds come in. We say, hey, we got a little more money, let's keep building, we can get this phase one. We started going, and by January of this year we were having the first service in a totally completed building. Absolute miracle. That was, yeah, a year ago this Sunday, whatever that was, the second, the fifth, I don't know. Heidi and I are there having the first service. And I remember you guys building this. You know, Heidi and I were with you when you were in Wilson in the little church there. And Pastor was right, was that a parsonage there? Yeah. So I remember in 2007, my wife and I and our daughter having our first itineration service with you there. How many were over there? How many remember those days? Anybody from those days? Okay, we got a couple of you. There we go. and I remember you guys starting on this. And this whole project, this had to be something for you guys to take on. And a lot of hard work here, a lot of sweat effort and equity here. And this, in some ways, is like Moldova. You know, we get the babushkas out, we get the grandmas and the men and the young people, everybody, you know, everybody, hey, come one, come all. We don't have a lot of fun, we got to help get this room done. Can you do some drywall? Well, just come and throw some mud on the wall, straighten it out, just come and help, whatever. And working together, and you guys have a beautiful facility here, right on the main road, right off the exit. Look what the Lord has done. And I think of this, and I know this is a very close church family, and you guys have worked hard on this, so you know that whole effort. And this is what's going on over there. This was a very unique, you know, every congregation has its personality, right? In Moldova, here in Wisconsin, America, whatever. This is a very tight church family, working hard, people doing their work, a lot of agricultural work over there, coming after and just helping on the church again, getting it done. This is so cool what God did. So that's Mikleoshan Dolna. When you come over, we'll take you out there. We'll show you. Hey, let's go to Kainar. Check this out. Here's a little village setting. Heidi and I don't know, you young people, if you've ever, you know, sold some brownies, pies, done some car washes, whatever. Because we're driving a vehicle because of your help. And it's 15 years old. When we go back, we're hoping to get 20 years out of it. So thank you. Many times we've driven through these little villages. Cows are got, you know, they're kind of working their way home. It's amazing how they come home. They know right what door to go right in. Heading home. Here we got some sheep. Here's Pastor Mihai. So his little house, church. He got some chairs somewhere. Probably some humanitarian truck or something. Tried to make his little home church looked like a church the best he could, seating for 19. And they had some land. And I was out there with Romika, one of our presbyters, bishops in the central region. And we just said, hey, this has got to be one of our 2020 projects. Let's go for it in Kainar. And we had some problems getting, sometimes in villages, sometimes in Moldova, the religious culture is not especially is not necessarily welcoming of evangelical Pentecostal churches. So sometimes word will go around, don't sell to them. The mayor may drag his feet on stamping and signing off. You know, stuff like that goes on. And that happened here a little bit. And this one got a little late start, even into like this spring or summer. And is that beautiful? You know, I've never loved just the sheet of cement like this until what I've seen God do. Because when I see this, the church is on its way. It's going up. It's going to happen. And this started in summer, I think August, and into the fall. They got, yeah, that looks like a house, doesn't it? The front area there is more the sanctuary and some extra rooms, and they maximize the space. But look at this. This was just either the end of October or into November. You know, get it up, get the windows, get the doors, get it enclosed, and bang, we can start having church. And I hope they got the insulation in and stuff, or at least something in the main room there. But they're meeting, they're having church. Their church is on the way in Kynar. Check this out. Where are we going, Hi? We're going to Marishen. This is Victor. He's one of our great pastors. By the way, I'm not going through all 20, so don't worry. We're almost done, and then I just have a little devotional word that ties into all this that is really quite amazing from God. So this is Pastor Victor. He's actually the son-in-law of our leader in the country. We call him a bishop, the equivalent of a superintendent for our district here. Anyway, Victor's quite amazing. Their home church was the first church that we got permission to build to start building in like 1989-90. His father-in-law went from Chisinau up to Moscow when it was during perestroika and glasnost, you know, the new transformation or whatever those words mean, you know, new beginning, changes, something. He had to go up to Moscow to get permission to build the first church. So he pastors that church now in Sarata Galbana, and they have planted half a dozen churches. And I'm talking to him about Marishen. I said, hey, we'll get on board with you, Marishen. Let's make this one of our 2020 projects. And this was in the late, this is like November, late 2020. And the winter before we came, the winter was pretty mild. And they were building right from November, December into January. This is February of this year, of 2021, excuse me, a week before we came home. Look at them up on the roof there. The commitment there, just to get their church done, get it enclosed, because we need a place to meet. And this, I wrote him in October. I said, hey, Victor, how's the church in Marishen? And I got pictures. I can't show them to you all, but the whole inside is done. Little rooms for the kids, mother-baby room with the window for the sanctuary. The sanctuary looks great, little stage. I mean, the church is just rocking there in Marishen. It's such a great church. There's two guys that just have such an incredible heart. They're called David and Jonathan, and they lead the work here under Pastor Victor. Is that cool stuff? And are you guys still with me? This is an exciting report, and I'm glad. Sometimes I'm at churches, they're very much choo, choo, choo. So I don't feel that pressure today. Should I feel that pressure? I'm glad. Listen to this. Now, this is right from October. Pastor Victor, he just writes this on his own. I said, hey, how's the church in Marishen? He sends me pictures, and he sends this little note. And one of my favorite lines I've heard in a long time. Had a little bit of broken English, but hello, Troy. Every Monday, we distribute bread from our bakery for the poor people in the church building. First, we do Bible lesson, and we have service in the church building, and then we help the needy people. So they'll bring bread, people will come, they'll share God's word with them, and then they'll bless them. A lot of poor people in all the villages. Two times a week, we feed 25 poor kids in the church building. And they have Sunday service. They have like a midweek prayer time now. So they got ministry going on. These are a couple extra things he just happened to write. But he says this, we had a big opposition in the community in the beginning. Now the atmosphere has changed. After we built the church building, so once they got this built, people are saying this is like a star in the darkness. That's the exact quote. This area, now that it's built, this is like a star in the darkness. This area start to shine. And I just, I remember the first time I read that email, I got choked up because I just know the grind of these villages. Sometimes we see the elderly, and, you know, this is a lot of this is just sustenance living in the villages, capital city, maybe $300 a month. And that's still a grind, and the buses and the hustle and going to work and to have enough money to pay rent and utilities and have a little bit of food, and you have no hope that you can really, like, have an American dream. You're just trying to get through the month and pay so you can keep living where you're at. And, you know, in the village, it's just mostly sustenance living and work in your field. 70% of Moldova is agriculturally worked. But we'll see, they call them pensioners, Social Security folks, or, you know, the elderly. But we'll see them in summer, spring, fall, walking down the road, and they got a branch that they're going to take back and chop up so they have some wood for heating, and they're trying to, you know, something fell down, they're taking that home because it's free, right? That's free heating when they get back and they can cut that up. So when he said this is like a star in the darkness, he said the church is a place of hope. It's a place of help. It's something in the village where we feel we got some help. They're doing something good for our village, and there's a little bit of hope in it. So that's very cool. This one, you know what this was? This was a former Soviet library. And you can see how it's all kind of nicked up and overgrown, not being used for anything. At one time, it was a little store, the corner there, Corona, and it was a little magazine, where you could come and get probably some bread and flour and just basic staples. But anyway, it doesn't look like it had been used. Pastor Georgi, the home church in Ungan, about 30 miles away, they had targeted this as a new church plant. They would go out there, you know, most of these home churches, they all have their morning service. It'd be like, you guys meeting now, and then this afternoon or this evening, you know, whoever, responsible couple, board members, pastor, his son or something, some of the worship team going 10 miles out to a new place you're trying to start a new work, you know. So Pastor Georgi in Ungan, this is, he's trying to get a new work going here in Radenivek. And he calls me, and I've known him since 2005 because I worked with him in Ungan with our mission team from Waukesha before we were missionaries. So there's a cool story and all that. But anyway, he's calling me. So of course I've known him. And he's calling me, Troy, come out to Radenivek. I think now's the time, if we can find a place. Can we be one of the 2020 projects? I went out there 3-4 times, I think. We'll drive around and just, well, we talked to this person. Well, what about this place? And he calls me one day, he's all excited, because this is like right in the center. We always want to be like in the center, you know, where all the people are coming and going. We bought this. And, you know, this wasn't from the ground up, so our funds go a lot further. And this thing gets transformed. And if you were there, like, you know, the church, you guys had a mission team, this you can see yourself just wherever you want to be. You can be outside with the branches. You can be up on the roof, the new roof. You can be putting in the new windows. You can be working on the siding. You can be doing on the inside, whatever you want to do. Just when your mission team comes, you can see yourself in this, right? So look at now. This, that, done. Midweek Bible study, the children coming. Most of these places, after they have ministry to children after school. Give them something to eat, help them with homework and Bible study. And kids grow up, right? And kids have parents too. And now look at this. That was just a few months back in the fall, a recent picture he sent. So cool. Whew. So that's just a little sampling. And we could go through more, but I know we're not going to. You get the idea. God did something in Moldova. Amazing. And you know what? I remember sitting with Heidi as we're getting ready to come home and itinerate, and we're getting kind of our itineration service together, and we're going through photos, and we're like, oh, man, we got so much to share. We got to, you know, you're lucky you weren't like on the front end when we were itinerating. I was trying to share too much. I had to keep whittling it down because I was just going too long. I was too excited. I was more excited than this. And I want to show everybody, every church, but there wasn't time for all that. So we're kind of got it down to this. But I remember in Moldova thinking, getting our itineration service together, and then one day I go, oh, time out. After we share our report, which is very exciting, I hope that they'll think it's exciting. Like, I think you think it's exciting. I went to Heidi, what are we going to tell them we're going to do when we go back then? Because I'm going to share the report like I just did, but don't you wonder what we're going to do when we go back in a couple months? Because I can't just live off this, right? There's got to be something we're going back for. Are we going to just go back and go visit the churches? No. Look what God gave us, a new vision. And I got to ask you, okay, 2020 vision. That's not so original, but don't think about a year. No, this is new. This is going to come together for you real quick. Yes, we just simply call our new vision going back the 2020 vision. Simple question for you. Saul, who became Paul, wrote half the New Testament. Missionary Paul, you know, same guy. Second half of the book of Acts, mostly missionary journeys, right? 1, 2, 3, and then the Roman stuff. I remember one day just thinking about Paul. You know, he was always doing one of two things. I mean, he's doing other things too, but he was either traveling and starting a new work, going where there's no church, and he's like beginning to preach the gospel, meet with different ones, get a home group going or whatever, you know, Colossae, Thessalonica, Ephesus, wherever he is. So he's either, I'll call it building the church, starting a new church, or he's coming around, second missionary journey, third, and what's he doing? He's strengthening the churches he started, right? And I remember thinking, hey, Paul's missionary, we're missionaries, we're kind of doing what Paul did, helping get new churches going. I always felt like that's what we should be doing, like getting a new church in areas where there's no church. And it's 20 churches in 2020. When we go back, we should be strengthening those too while we start building new ones. And so this is our new vision, the 2020 vision. We want to build, start, help establish 20 new works, targeted sites, places where there's no work, and 10,000 as the starter money. And whether we're starting from the ground up, we're going to buy a home, we're going to buy a building and retrofit it, whatever we're going to do, God's going to lead on that. The strengthening is the 20 churches I just told you about. I want to go back to Pastor Niku, Pastor Georgi, Pastor Sasha. Hey, how's the church in Vatalui Voda? How's the church in Radenivek? How's the church in Marishan or Kainar? I have some funds. What can we do in evangelism? What kind of ministry resource do you need? How can we help you guys to continue to have influence, be strengthened? So that's what that strengthening side is. The building side is we're going after another 20. This is easy, right? This makes sense. So this is what we've been sharing. And I'll just tell you, church, Heidi and I are absolutely amazed. Now, we've been going 10 months. We're starting our 11th month, January 12th in February, and then we go back in March. I mean, it is amazing what God has done and the funds he's brought. If we land it in Moldova right now, you could be watching your email, and Heidi and I are going to, or our Facebook, and we're going to be monthly, I think, putting in new projects going up, new projects where we've got funds to put. And I got to get back to Moldova because we got funds to put to work, and this is going to happen. It's incredible. And I could tell so many stories. I've got to the point where I'm not surprised anymore. There was a point where I was surprised that a church would go, yeah, we got 5,000. We believe you. We want to get behind a project or help with half a project. Now we got some churches coming. Hey, we want to get behind you. We want to sponsor a project. We're going to send a team or whatever. And we got some friends. These are some good friends to have. They're down in Florida. We've known that Heidi and her best people in each other's weddings, whatever, maid of honor, best people. And you know, we've known them for years, and just good people. She's doing pretty good in real estate. Next thing, they've put $16,000 in our account, and she, you know, she's probably doing, maybe had some good deals in real estate or something. But she said, "I want to help build churches in Moldova." I mean, I could just go on. Not that we don't need to take an offering today, but I'm just saying, God is just so amazing, and I'm so convinced God's on this again. And I'll be, I'm being really honest with you. You could tell when I was telling you about the first 20 churches in 2020, and God's like, challenging me with that. I'm going, what? How I was kind of blown away. And I remember telling my colleagues or just different missions partners in Moldova, and I would say this, I think God wants me to go after 20 churches in 2020. You know why I'm saying I think? Because I wanted to leave it out because I really didn't believe it. So I would be saying, I think. And I was waiting for something to show like, yeah, this is may really happen. Because I didn't really have anything. I had had no money. And you know, you can tell I'm up here saying, God's going to do this. God's already showing up. I'm not surprised. It just comes in different ways. Whether it's a church, sometimes individuals, God has been bringing in funds, and we're ready to go back with a decent chunk to get to work on this and just believe God for the rest. So that's where we're at. And the last thing this morning I'll leave you with, you really got to just give me 10 minutes. You got to hear this message. It's the taxi message. Pastor, I know God's spoken to you. You're driving by a billboard and God speaks to you about a message. You know, you're just doing a mundane thing and God speaks to you and gives you a series or a message for the church. I have a speed light vehicle. I have a vehicle, thanks young people again, and adults who support the young people and buy their pies and all that, you know, so big community affair. Barely ever drive a taxi. I don't drive a taxi over there. Barely ever take a taxi. It's like $3 that'll go anywhere in the capital city, very cheap. And one day, just decided to ride the taxi. We were going to a meeting, didn't want to deal with all the hassle. In the taxi, I opened my Bible because I hadn't read the chapter I was supposed to have read. And bang, God gives me this word. This says, at the same time, he's like working on this 20 churches in 2020, and I wasn't all in with him on that. And he gives me this message, and it really just jumped out to me. I never realized how it was going to tie in later to this whole thing that's going on. And watch this. Acts, if there was a name, it would be the church going and growing. Acts 1:8, you're going to receive power. Holy Spirit's going to come just before Jesus ascends. You're going to be my witness, just like you sang. We're going to go with the gospel. Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, the ends of the earth, right? To Moldova. All right? So we know that. Flip Acts 1:8 over to Acts 8:1. Look what happened. After seven chapters, church is doing pretty good in Jerusalem, a little bit of persecution, but all in all, not doing too bad. And then Acts 8:1 happens. On that day, what day? The day Stephen was stoned, martyred, killed, rocks in the head. You know, on that day that he's killed, a great persecution breaks out against the church in Jerusalem. All except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. What's going on here? Acts 1:8 is beginning to be fulfilled in Acts 8:1, right? And then verse 2 and 3 talks about Saul, who, you know, would be Paul later on. Saul is the KGB man. He's going house to house. He's dragging out men and women. He's persecuting them, dragging them to jail. He's just wreaking havoc on the church in Jerusalem. People are scattering to Judea and Samaria. And then in verse 4, if you had your Bibles, it would say Philip in Samaria. I just give you that real brief context background because the very first story that comes after that little background is Philip in Samaria. And this is where God gave me these little points, one verse after the other. It's amazing. And this is the church going and growing, and these points are what I pray, what we pray for as we go into new places to plant and start new works. And as well, these are four points that you can pray for your sphere of influence, whether it's your family, your extended family, your neighborhood, your colleagues at work, your employer, employees, your classmates, your roommates at university, wherever it is. Watch this. Number one, we pray for Jesus to be proclaimed. In verse 4 and 5, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. And I remember reading this. Hey, we just need to pray for Jesus to be proclaimed. I mean, it's so simple right here. Philip, probably good friends with Stephen. Now, I don't know. I'd have to I don't have anything except to know that they're both leaders in the early church. I suspect somehow they had some connections. And maybe Philip was right there and he saw his best friend get killed and martyred. You know what I'd be doing if I was Philip? I wouldn't be preaching and proclaiming. I would be up in the rocks hiding, saying, I'm going to let things cool down because they're throwing rocks at the Christians now. I got some food here. I'm going to hang out up here and just let things settle down on this whole persecution stuff. Here's Philip. Bang. He's in Samaria. Remember Jesus, the woman at the well? She's saying, John 4, why are you talking to me? You know, Jews and Samaritans, we don't get along. And here's Philip from Jerusalem, right in Samaria, and he's up preaching the word wherever he goes. So he's preaching the word. He's preaching it without prejudice. He's in Samaria, and he's just proclaiming the Messiah. And God, I'm sure, is the one who's bringing the opportunities. One thing you'll notice about these four simple points is this. Take the pressure off yourself. I take the pressure off me. When we're going into a new village, these four points are just perfect. It's what happened in Acts chapter 8 as the church began to go into new areas. And I pray these simple points. I don't have any pressure. I pray, God, we're going into Redenivek, whatever. You know, we want to get a new work started. We believe you love this village. You love everybody here. You're leading us. Pastor feels it's right. So, God, will you help us to proclaim Jesus in this village? We're asking for you to help. However you're going to provide the opportunities. You know, the pressure's not on me. I'm putting it on God. Will you help us to proclaim Jesus? Will you open the doors? And that's what happens here. Notice how these verses go. Next verse, verse 6. When the crowds heard Philip, saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. They saw, they heard, they're paying close attention. Pray for open minds and hearts. I remember reading that going, we need to pray for open minds and hearts. That's all that's going on here. God opened minds and hearts. And so, of course, we go into a new village. I don't know anybody. The pastor may know a few people, a handful, who are starting to come to the home church, but I don't know anybody. And God, you know every family. You know every individual. You know the religious walls. You know the abuse, the alcoholism. You know the everything going on here. And will you just open minds and hearts? You know, every one of us here, there was a time. Maybe you were born and raised in the church and you kind of came into the faith like my wife. I was 16 years old when I came to the faith from over by Wausau, went to DC Everett, the Rothschild, Schofield, Weston. I'm just a regular young guy going through high school, playing a little bit of sports, hanging out with friends, starting to go to the parties on the weekend, and all the peer pressure, get a job when I'm 16, get my car, I'm working, and I'm just trying, got my new stereo in the car, just whatever, all the stuff, right? And I'm minding my own business, and here God just kind of comes into my world one day, just a 180 type conversion, pretty radical, and start living for God. And God opened my mind and my heart. One of my favorite programs I started listening to was Unshackled. Remember, you guys know that, Pacific Garden Mission. I remember taking a team of our adults down there from one of our churches for a visit. I love Pacific Garden Mission. Love those stories. Amazing how every time, oh, God, such a messed up life. How could they ever come out of that? And by the end, God just transforms again. He did it again. It's kind of like the opposite of Gilligan's Island. You always think, this time they're going to get off the island. But they never do. Oh, how did that get messed up? But with God, it gets messed up in the right way. And they come around. I love those stories. So all of us, whether you are born and raised in the church, whether you're in the middle of your teen years and God opened your mind and heart, whether it was whether you were like one of the ornery ones down at the factory and you were cussing and criticizing the Christians, maybe you were one that you, when you really first heard the gospel and that personal relationship element, you needed some time to think this through and a few more weeks or months and process it. You know, we all come in different ways. And so we pray for God to open minds and hearts. And this passage in Acts 17, by itself, this will preach, and your pastor is going to have this message for you shortly. But Paul had been in Athens. He's preaching the gospel. The Greeks, they love knowledge. And here's Paul. He can hang with them because he's a pretty well-studied guy. They're talking about the resurrection of the dead when it comes to the end. Some sneered. Others said, we want to hear you again. Some became followers. One, two, three responses. I think those responses represent all of us here, and they represent everybody that you might want have an opportunity to try and share the gospel with. In your neighborhood, in your family, in your extended family, in your school, at your university, wherever your relationships are. And you know what we do? I can't open anybody's mind. I can't open anybody's heart. God, I'm praying, will you open minds and hearts? God, we're going in this new village. We're praying to proclaim Jesus. And as long as you've got an attentive ear, will you help us by opening minds and hearts? Will you begin working on homes? You know the families. You know the individuals. God, we're praying for you to open minds and hearts. See how simple that is? And we let God do it. Number three, look at this. Pray for God's power to be displayed. Notice the next verse. With shrieks, impure spirits came out of many. Many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. I read that. It was like, next verse. What do we do there? We pray for God's power to be displayed. And this is perfect. What do you think I'm doing when I'm going into a village? I don't know anybody. I know there's probably alcoholism, there's abuse, there could be human trafficking, some young people trying to recover from that or get a life going. There's just a lot of difficulties and challenges, maybe depression, suicide, suicidal thoughts, just hopelessness. God, oh man, it's God, as we're going to this new village, we pray for your power to be displayed. And I don't know if there's people who need a physical healing, if they need an emotional healing, families that need a relational healing, marriages, just so much in this village, God, you know, will your power just go ahead and will you begin working? Is that wonderful? And look at the very last point. How perfect is this? So there was great joy in that city. Pray for great joy. Pray for the joy of salvation. Pray for changed families. Pray for changed individuals. Pray for the salvation. So pray for great joy in that family or individual. God, come on in. Let's go to this new village. God, we're believing you for the church. Help us to proclaim Jesus. Will you open minds and hearts? Will you bring your power? Will you touch lives, change lives? Will you bring the joy of your salvation like this? Anyway, did I tell you we were going to have a great morning? There's some good stuff going on in Moldova. God has, my wife and I, we've been there 15 years. We are as excited as when we were just youngsters in our early to mid-40s, going to Moldova for the first time. We almost can't get there fast enough. And you know, the family stuff and our grandkids, that comes with the territory at this stage of our lives. But we know God's got that all covered. And we love having churches like you partnering with us right from the beginning. And you can tell this isn't something where we're, pumping up the Darrens. You can see God's doing something. Six mission teams all canceled. COVID hits. God has asked us, he's working on like four or five times as many churches as we normally do, and then he does it. And our faith has been elevated. I'm believing God for greater things, and we're going back, and we're just going after it. And you guys are partners with us in this. So a big thank you to you. And as well from that message, you keep being who you need to be in your sphere of influence here. Pray to proclaim Jesus. Pray for open minds and hearts. Pray for the power of God, and pray for joy to come to individuals, family members, associates, relationships you have. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Rick, for having us again this Sunday.
Great report, great word. Appreciate it very much. Hope that you can all stay for chili and get to fellowship with them a little bit. That brochure you're talking about, is that on your table back there? That 2020?
A few copies.
It's old now.
We've got to make a new one with a new 20.
Yeah. I would be interested, and someone might be interested in seeing that too. So we're going to take an offering. So if the ushers would come, and it's also a very special day. We have a birthday in the family. Sarah Mannon, our daughter-in-law, I don't know how old she is. I wouldn't say anyway, but where's Sarah? Is she out? Because I wanted to sing happy birthday to her. And then we'll take the offering. The worship team will come back, and they will lead us in a congregational song for the offering. And when they're done, you can be dismissed to head down to the multi-purpose room and have some chili and fellowship. And come by and get a prayer card before you leave. So let's sing happy birthday to Sarah. She's probably in the building. She can hear us anyway. Are we going to sing one more song? Oh, you are doing it. Great. All right. That's what it is.